Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you here on Sports Daily. Glad to be with you on the air, and glad to have Max, our fearless producer, back in the chair. Who knows where Max has been the last week and a half? You don't ask those kinds of questions when it comes to our Max Power. It's information that you don't need to know, and you wouldn't get it anyway. So we're glad to have Max back. He's on the line, taking your calls, 869-1240. Also taking your comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Also, thanks to those watching us on 12 News Connected. And of course, you can leave us voice messages at, as always, if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here. Busy show. Thursdays are always busy. We've got Tim Fitzgerald checking in from Manhattan. What on earth has happened to the Wildcats now into the bye week? We will get the latest from Fitz. We'll also talk to our betting insider, PJ Glasser, looking ahead to Thursday night football, looking ahead to a college football weekend, and looking ahead, of course, to week three in the NFL. What are some ways that we might be able to make a little money heading into the holiday season? Never too early to start saving up, right? Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm better than I have been in days. I'm glad Max is back. I've been trying to kind of piecemeal together producing this show in Max's absence, but nobody can do it better than him. So I'm glad that he's back. He did say something to me about he went to go look at a car, but he was gone for like 10 days. I'm not sure that takes 10 days to go look at a car. So I don't know if I buy that. I don't know what he's been up to, what he's been doing, but he is the international man of mystery. So who knows?
You had to go see a guy about a thing.
Yeah.
And we're glad to have him back.
Need to know. We don't need to know anything else.
That's right. We don't need to, and we probably don't want to.
Yeah.
It's all what's on tap, by the way, in this hour, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, celebrating National Pepperoni Pizza Day on Saturday, which is September 20th. So for $9.20, you can get a pepperoni pizza, a pepperoni pizza, or WBC's famous pepperoni rolls. Enjoy National Pepperoni Pizza Day at WBC on 9/20 Saturday with $9.20 specials. Wichita Brewing Company pepperoni pizzas and beer made here. All right. We got a lot to talk about. The Royals get a win last night, 7-5 over the Mariners. They hang on. Little spooky there in the 8th and 9th inning, but they do hang on and get it done against Seattle. A big hit late by Adam Frazier is the critical moment, and they hang on. So here we go. We said they needed all 11. Well, technically, we said they needed all 12, which they definitely needed all 11. 10 more to go, and we'll see what the Royals can do with it. They now get back to 500, Tommy. But I want to see him go down swinging if they're going to go down. So that was nice last night.
Yeah, I mean, look, they were able to hang on and get it done. The Carlos Estevez got the save. Lucas Ursig got the win. The bats came alive earlier in the game than they did in the opener in that series, when it took more than half of the game for the Royals bats to start to respond, and they had already dug themselves a pretty big hole in that opener. So it was good to see, at least offensively, things come around. But like you mentioned, it got a little bit shaky there at one point. But at the end of the day, the Royals are able to take down a team ahead of them in the wild card. It's extremely unlikely they can do anything to get into the playoffs at this point. But, you know, at least they were able to get one against a team in front of them.
Yeah, it's always... Always good this time of year when it feels like things might be out of control that they can get a win. We get a ton of positive Chiefs injury news as well. And we'll talk about this more in just a minute, but both Xavier Worthy, Tommy, and Jalen Royals back at practice. Now, both were listed in the practice report as limited participants, but from what Andy Reid said, at least Xavier Worthy wasn't really limited in any way. I would expect Xavier Worthy to play this weekend. Royals being back out there was interesting and a bit unexpected, but he's back out there and he's working. So maybe sooner than later, you know, Patrick Mahomes turned 30 years old yesterday, Tommy. What a birthday present that would be to get two of his at least top four receiving options back in the game in time to play the Giants there this weekend.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, I think that from what we've heard and what we know, Xavier Worthy has been trending to play for this in this game. I mean, basically dating all the way back to last week, like getting practice ready to go for the game that they played against the Eagles. But I mean, having him back on the field, it sounds like he's, you know, got mobility at least to an extent to where he feels like he can go. The pain tolerance should be okay. I mean, we don't know for sure yet if he's a go, but it certainly sounds like that's the way it's trending. And we talked yesterday about, with Jalen Royals not having any information whatsoever and it kind of being an afterthought, him being back out on the field, even as a limited participant, that could bode pretty well if the Chiefs can at least have him, because we don't even know. We don't even know what he can do. We don't even know what his skill set is necessarily, but at least having him be potentially available and even in a limited capacity is better than nothing.
Yeah. And you know, I don't want to discount either how much buzz he had before the injury in camp in the preseason. Like, all we were hearing is he's ahead of schedule, ahead of where rookies typically are in this offense. And we'll dig into it as we go into the next segment, because I do think it's pretty significant as far as this game this weekend and this immediate future. I also want to know what PJ Glasser thinks about it in terms of bets. Like, what does this do to the line? Like, what does Vegas think this is worth? Because right now, the line hasn't really moved. In fact, it's moved more toward the Giants. It started, at least when we started talking about it this week, it was at 6.5. It's now at 6. So what, you know, what impact would this really have? We'll get into it with Glasser, both from a betting perspective, but just the curiosity of what do the odds makers think those guys are valued at? Right now, nothing as far as the line movement. But we also don't have official word that they're going to play either. Perhaps that's an opportunity to get out ahead of the markets, but we'll get into that as well. And then the conversation with Fitz, Tommy. Listen, one thing we know about our buddy Fitz, he's not going to pull punches. So, you know, I am very curious to hear inside of what's happening in Manhattan right now, because it is, to the rest of us, wildly troubling.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I've had this particular interview circled on my calendar for a long time. I know you've been out the last couple of Thursdays, so you haven't had a chance to talk to him recently. But each week we've had him on, it's gotten progressively more and more frustrating, I think, and the tone of
dystopian.
And I think that some of it too. I mean, one thing I noticed with our segment with Fitz last week was that he was almost at a loss for words. And, you know, some of the answers to the questions we asked were short and sweet, because I'm not sure that at that point he had fully wrapped his mind around everything or even fully really knew what to make of all of it. And then they lose again. And so I can only imagine the way that it's going to be, you know, today and some of the thoughts and takeaways from Fitz.
Yep, it's an interesting time there. Hey, Open Streets ICT Douglas happening Sunday, September 28th from 12 to 4. It's a free community event. 3 miles of Douglas Avenue, Grove Street to Glen Street. By closing it down, they let you get out there. No motorized traffic, so walking, biking, skating, socializing. There'll be 5 activity hubs, food trucks, family activities, street vendors. A lot of fun. Visit OpenStreetsICT.com for more details. We'll talk about this wide receiver practice news for the Chiefs when we return on Sports Daily.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you on this Thursday edition. All right, Tommy, we get injury news for the Chiefs. Xavier Worthy, Jalen Royals, both back at practice. I don't know if you watched that practice video, but to me, they both look fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they've got, you know, definitely the ability to go in some capacity. I mean, obviously practice speed and game speed, two totally different things. And I don't know if they've got the ability to both of them go the entire game and not be limited in any kind of capacity, but certainly this is a good look from what we saw from the video from practice.
I saw Worthy catching some passes, and he doesn't look restricted there. I don't know, like, from his injury, I don't know what else, what other part of it would concern us other than can he move his arms fully in the way he needs to move his arms to catch the ball? And he looks like he can. If he can do that in practice, which we saw video of it yesterday, I mean, he can do it in a game. Maybe it maybe it's a little bit restrictive in a game, but it's going to be better than what they have, because the reality for those players is it's what they do. Well, we don't know about Royals yet, but for Worthy especially, it's what he does after he catches the ball anyway. You just got to get it to him. And the way that they utilized him and deployed him last year toward the end of the year when he really got effective, he wasn't like a deep ball guy. They just got it to him near the line and let him run a little bit after the catch. So I do think that's a big addition for the Chiefs right now. I think both of these players would make them a much better team. Where did we have them in the ranking of Chiefs wide receivers? You at least had them as two of the top four options, right?
Yeah.
With Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown. I don't, you know, as much as I think everybody appreciates Juju Smith-Schuster as a pass catching option, he's not particularly that high anymore. So whether, you know, depending on what you thought about Royals, the Chiefs are either getting two of their top four pass catching options back, or maybe even two of their top three of what you'd envision. That's a big deal for the offense. I mean, a big part of why they've struggled. I don't care what anybody says. Like when you're missing good players, it's going to affect your team, some more than others. But when it's three of them with Rashee Rice, now you're down. Like, it's the same old story we've told for 3 years. And it's, I don't want to call it unlucky, because Rashee Rice's situation is not unlucky. It's unlucky, I guess, if you're the Chiefs organization, but he made a decision. But every year for the last three, the same challenge has presented itself for different ways, and they have attacked the problem, and they continue to kind of be unfortunate there. And now maybe they're not going to be for as long this season. I do think it. I think it's a big deal. I think it's a really big deal.
I think there's one other thing with Xavier Worthy that I think about, and it's different than, is he restricted in catching the football? Is he limited in his mobility and range and all of that? One other thing is, can he take a hit? And what happens if he gets, you know, hit hard and lit up a little bit? Like, is there the risk of further injury? Is there the risk of aggravating something where the pain tolerance is at a point to where he then has to go and sit? Because, you know, especially if he's an underneath type guy, intermediate type guy, and a run after catch type guy, he's going to get hit, right? Like, it's a little bit different than, you know, Tyquan Thornton's role, or Hollywood Brown's role, or even like if you look at a, you know, another team, the team that they're facing this weekend, he's different than Malik Nabers, where like the deep ball threat is there and he can get out in space and be open to catch a long pass and avoid getting tackled. If it, you know, Xavier Worthy is going to play the way that they want him to play, he's going to get hit. And so can he take that hit? Can he absorb that without the risk of further injury, re-injury, aggravating what he's already got going on, all of that? I do wonder about that too.
Yeah, but that's always going to be there, right? Unless he has surgery. I don't think that changes in week 3 or week 12.
And right? It might, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a doctor.
I mean,
trainer.
I don't know
it
either, might just but be, I assume.
It might just be a torn labrum is a torn labrum is a torn labrum, and you get hit, it's probably going to hurt a little bit, but you're good right. to go. Or it could be, man, he injured it worse, and or the pain is to a point to where he's got to leave a game again. I don't know. I don't know that.
You know, to the point you brought up yesterday, though, I feel like if it was worse, we wouldn't see guys like Kittle and Beckham and others play through this injury maybe as often as they have. It does seem like it's a pain thing, and then you got to correct it at some point. Like, you'll deal with it, but you'll deal with it down the road. And there are football injuries like that all the time. Most of these guys, by the end of the season, they're like, they're all playing hurt. Like, they're all playing with injuries. Nobody's healthy. It's football. So hopefully for him, it's not restrictive. And yeah, he doesn't hurt it more. That would be quite the danger.
I don't know if you can. I mean, that's the thing that's kind of up in the air for me is, can you hurt it more, hurt it worse? You know, like that sort of thing. I don't know. I think that's going to be interesting to see.
And good for Worthy. Look, if he can and he's taking that risk, I think he understands the urgency of this is a, you know, I don't know what anybody else thinks beyond this year, but there is some urgency to this season, right? You have Kelsey there. How much longer is Andy Reid going to do this? You know, the defense, you're likely going to have to turn over some really good players at some point in the next handful of years. There could be a period of time where we don't walk into every season and just see the Chiefs as the inherent favorite because they always make it there. Like, I don't know that that's going to continue for every season of Patrick Mahomes' career. It didn't for Tom Brady. Like, they needed a minute to reload that thing, and that may be coming too. So there is some urgency this year, I think, and maybe Worthy senses that. Either way, he's getting out there. He's going to put himself out there. Royals, we still don't even know what was ever wrong technically with Royals. It was tendonitis is what we're told. So hopefully he's out there too. I got to tell you, seeing him at practice, like, that dude's huge. He is a big dude. And anything that they can get right now as far as playmaking or whatever is going to help this offense. They don't have any juice as much as anything else when we watch them, Tommy. Like, there's just no juice to the offense right now. Like, other than, like, there's only one element of it, and it's trying to throw a deep ball to Tyquan Thornton. Do you ever feel like any plays breaking off for a long one other than that possibility? It just doesn't
not for a long one. You know, I don't have it in front of me, but I know, like, their yards per play in the game against the Eagles was pretty low. And it, especially if you take away the one deep ball connection TD to Thornton, it really goes down quite a bit, their average yards per play. So, no, I certainly don't think that that's there. And I know that they, you know, Patrick Mahomes has really tried to, you know, pepper Hollywood Brown and Travis Kelce and all of that. I get all of that because those are your top options right now out on the field. But that's certainly not ideal. I mean, really, the only play, other than a deep ball to Tyquan Thornton that connected one out of three times in week number two, the only other threat to even move the chains was Mahomes running the ball himself.
Right.
That was pretty much it. That's the only kind of consistent offense they had.
Which, of course, comes with its own risks. And, you know, Mahomes talked about it a little bit. Andy Reid talked about it a little bit yesterday. Reid doesn't have a problem with it as long as he's upright at the end of the play. Mahomes, you know, kind of hinted that he feels pretty good about when he chooses to try to run through it. That's all fine and good. Like, we'd all be happier. Like, nobody's going to say anything if you just go ahead and run out of bounds or if you just go ahead and slide. Just, you know, it's amazing to see him do it. I think it's a really cool part of his game. I think it is a really dangerous. I mean, if you're the opposition, it's a really dangerous part of his game. Like, if imagine if he was doing that 3 years ago, Tommy. Like, if he added that wrinkle to his game when they were a little bit more high octane on offense. So it's something to keep there. But then at the end of the day, all of these things are there, and they better win some games. It's going to be tough this year if they can't. This Giants game, man, it's the Giants. And I wouldn't say I was annoyed, but I was like, we're really going to put the Giants in primetime. Like, I know everybody wants the Chiefs there, but we're really going to have to watch the Giants in primetime. Now it feels like there's some gravity to this game. Like, it's, if you're NBC, you can get a pretty good storyline painted up right away. Like, this, there is desperation here for the Chiefs. I really think there is. It's not, look, if they go 0-3, is that the end of their season? Of course it's not. But that is hard to come back from in this league. And it's hard to come back from when you know you still have three more weeks before you get your top receiver back. That's why this feels like a bigger deal to me that these two are coming back now. I didn't think that either one of them were going to play this weekend, to be perfectly honest with you. I thought there was an outside chance on Worthy. Now I feel like Worthy's for sure going to play, and maybe there's an outside chance on Royals.
I think that the other thing to keep in mind, too, let's assume that the Chiefs get both Worthy and Royals back this weekend, and then they're only down Rashee Rice from being at full strength entirely. One thing to keep in mind, it goes back to what I've been talking about throughout the entire offseason, is that for me, it's personnel, but then it's also scheme. And they haven't been able to run any kind of semblance, I think, of what they want to run from a playbook perspective because they've been down the personnel, and I totally understand that. But as they get closer and closer to full strength, I want to see if they have different kinds of rabbits to pull out of their hat. You know, and I've seen a lot of discussion online and different blogs and articles and whatever talking about how through the first couple of weeks in the season, obviously, yes, they've been down personnel, but their offense, the play calling and the playbook in general looks pretty stale and it looks pretty pedestrian. And, you know, it's very predictable, just kind of, you know, Patrick Mahomes taking the snap in the shotgun, dropping back a couple of yards, and then waiting for something to develop. And I didn't even really think about this until I started reading up on it. And I don't know if you've noticed this. Try to think of a time when the Chiefs go play action. They don't really go play action.
Yeah, they start too often in shotgun.
They start in shotgun a lot. Like, we never see Mahomes under center. We rarely see them in the pistol. We rarely see them do play fakes. And so it becomes pretty predictable defensively on what they're going to do. And so I think that's something to keep an eye on. Maybe not right away this weekend, because again, they're still working Worthy back and they're still working Jalen Royals back, and they're not at full strength, and it may not even get to that point until Rashee Rice returns. But as they start to get healthier and healthier and return different pieces, that's going to be the next thing I look at. Like, I don't want to have this full complement of skill players out on the field and them still just doing the predictable offense, right? Like, I want to see it change schematically as well.
Well, and I think that they historically have been able to use motion and do some things uniquely that create the same sort of, you know, pre-snap action as play action. But yeah, look, if you could run the ball effectively, maybe you could do something like introduce play action. I don't know if, and it's a little strange to be perfectly honest, I don't know if they're going to run the ball effectively, because they're healthy back there. They lose Joe Tooney, which is a big deal when it comes to the run, but they should still be able to run the ball, and they haven't done that yet this year. I mean, they've tried, but it just hasn't been an effective, and I don't know if the pass game is going to open that up at all and help them. It is a little strange, though, this year through two games, that we haven't seen that be more effective. They're trying. Like, I'm perfectly comfortable with what we saw in the second game of the season as far as a workload to run the ball. Like, I'm good with it. Like, if that's what they do the rest of the year, I'll be fine with it. How do they make that more effective? Because that's going to help the pass game too. And maybe it is as simple as they need the pass game to help the run game, but it'd be sure nice if they could get the run game to help the pass game.
Yeah, I mean,
if you were another team, they're running play action, would you even respect it?
Yeah, no, I think there was a period of time in the game against the Eagles where they had to really, you know, lean on the run game. And so at that point, yeah, maybe you try to soften things up a little bit by play faking it. Like, I think of that stretch when they handed the ball three times in a row to Pacheco. Okay, well, then at that point, maybe implement a play action on the fourth time, right? We're already at a point now where, you know, social media and Chiefs Kingdom online, they're clamoring for running back trades. Like, who's out there right now that the Chiefs can go and trade for? It's not going to happen.
I don't think that's going to matter.
But there have been a lot of names. You know, like, I've seen guys like Alvin Kamara floated around, you know, because the Saints aren't going anywhere. And I've seen, you know, names like Devon Achane floated around because the Dolphins are a disaster, like all these different things. And sure, like, I think that would be absolutely an improvement on what they are currently doing in the backfield. But I think the issue running the football is more layered and detailed than just the fact that they need another body. I'm not sure that's totally the fix. Like, I think it's a culmination, a combination of a lot of different things as to why they're not running the ball effectively.
I don't think Isaiah Pacheco, I think he looks healthy. He doesn't look like a different player. I don't know. Again, somebody asked the question, it was Rick earlier in the week, asked the question about Matt Nagy. I don't know if that's in his wheelhouse. Like, I don't, whoever the, like, the run game coordinator, it just, like, the whole package of running the ball looks a little disjointed.
That is one area that I will give a significant amount of credit to Eric Bieniemy for. Like, I give Bieniemy credit in general. And right. I think that, I mean, obviously we've seen the offense get more and more stagnant the longer that Bieniemy is away from the team. But I mean, Bieniemy's a former running back in both college and the NFL. Like, he is skilled in that way. And I think that, you know, like, that I yearn for the days of, you know, having a guy like Jamal Charles on the team, or, you know, he even made guys that weren't, you know, incredible running backs look really good. Remember Damian Williams? Like, Damian Williams was only good with the Chiefs when Eric Bieniemy was his
Chiefs never didn't have a good run game,
right?
In those years, like, absolutely, they were always good.
Yeah, and it was always next man up. Like, it was guy like Sharkhandrick West, you know, was a guy that looked pretty good when he was the Chiefs running back, mainly because of the scheme that was around him.
Long story short, I don't buy into the they need to go get a running back. They need to fix the run game. But I don't think it's a Pacheco issue. No. Pacheco looks like the same player he's always looked like. He's going to run really hard right at it. Could he be more patient? Yeah, I suppose he
probably
could
have a little bit better vision to try to anticipate.
But I don't know that they. I don't know that those opportunities have presented themselves for the Chiefs. So it needs to be a tool in the tool belt. But the answer to me for this offense in the moment is to get healthier at wide receiver, have some playmakers there that can go do some special things after the catch, especially if Kelce is getting older, right? We saw it last year. It's like, okay, I'm not sure I totally buy it. It's a position that typically does not age well in the NFL. And yeah, he's just not the same player he was 3 years ago. Of course he's not. So he needs some help. The offense needs some help, and getting these wide receivers back should help. Hopefully it will. When we come back, Tom, I mentioned this. Patrick Mahomes turned 30 yesterday, Tommy. So, of course, everybody has some fun with that. I love putting Mahomes up next to Brady. I love because he's the next best chance, right? I think we would all agree on that. Whether you think Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league right now, he's the guy that has any shot to go after some of what Brady was able to put together. So he's 30. Not quite halfway to his career, but maybe a good halfway point. I want to take a look at what he's got and what Brady did and what are the chances he could catch him in some of these categories where Brady is just out of control. All right, Tommy. Patrick Mahomes turns 30 years old. He has been a starter in the league essentially for eight. This is his eighth season, right, as a starter. He, in those seasons, has been to the Pro Bowl six times, has won the Super Bowl three times, and has been the Super Bowl MVP three times. We know Tom Brady played, Tom Brady played more than 16 seasons, right? He had a 23-year career. So it's not exactly a time to take like halves on this, but I do think the age of 30 is a good time to take a look at it. Past the age of 30, Tom Brady was an MVP in 2007, in 2010, and 2017. They won, oh gosh, how many Super Bowls did they win after the age of 30 there, Tommy? They won another four, I believe. He was a Pro Bowler a billion times after the age of 30. But all told, he was a 15 over the course of his career, a 15-time Pro Bowler, a three-time MVP, and a seven-time Super Bowl champion. The statistical numbers, we're not to the point where we can start thinking about Mahomes that way. He just hasn't played long enough. But what do you think, if Mahomes is the next best chance to do some of the things we saw Brady do, he may be the only chance. Where do you think he lands on any of this? I think he'll get another MVP. So I think he'll catch him there. Brady had three. Mahomes has two now. I think Mahomes will get at least one more of those. I would have said the stats are a foregone conclusion, but over the last 3 years, I don't know that I think that anymore. Like Mahomes early in his career, it looked like he was going to come in and just be a statistical dynamo every single year. Well, he hasn't been for the last three. So we know that's not going to be the case. The championships, what, we really think they're going to win. He's going to win four more Super Bowls. He hadn't even won four yet. So the craziness of Brady is how much he did after the age of 30, in my opinion.
No, that's where it is. I mean, because a lot of it, a huge part of it's going to come down to how long can Patrick Mahomes play? I mean, he just turned 30. You'd like to think that he can play another 10 years minimum, but will he be able to go into his early 40s like Tom Brady did? And that's going to be the number one question. If he plays only another 10 years, yeah, I'm not sure four Super Bowls is realistic for him over the next 10 years. If he can play another 12, 13, 15 years, then yeah, maybe so. Like that becomes a little bit easier, I think, of a stat to accomplish for Mahomes. It's so hard to win a Super Bowl. And obviously, you know, the Chiefs have been to many of them. And they've got three championships to show for it before Mahomes turned 30. So he's already pacing better than Brady did, but Brady had a lot more longevity to be able to get a lot more done after the age of 30. So it's gonna come down to how much Mahomes has in the tank later on in his career.
Yeah, and that's where I think when we look at it, we have to think about, if he's going to catch him, you have to envision all of this stuff after 30. Everybody likes to put, like, with these young quarterbacks, it's like, where was Brady through the same or through the same time, right? Like, where did he sit at 30? And a lot of the time we see it, not necessarily with the Super Bowls. Mahomes is the only guy who's been able to do that, but with some of the numbers, and you're like, oh, you know, maybe that's it. And then you look at it, like, you really look at it, at what Brady did, and understand it was his age 30 season when he threw for 4,800 yards and 50 touchdowns. And then he threw for 4,000 yards, another 11 times after that season. So from 2008, when his age 31 season, when he got hurt, on 11 other times. From age 32 to 45, he threw for 4,000 yards. That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, from a statistical point of view, you know, all of the different career totals that Brady has, you know, things like yards and touchdowns and, you know, all the things that he did. I mean, obviously, he had the benefit of playing forever, you know, and so with the years and years and years of just piling up stats and yards and TDs and all the different things he did in his career. I mean, yeah, that's going to be extremely difficult to ever do more than. So, I mean, like, that's on the table for sure. The one thing that Mahomes has right now through the first, you know, decade of his career, ultimately, is from an efficiency point of view, Mahomes is better than Brady was at the age of 30, right? Like, things like, you know, yards per game and passer ratings. Like, if you're breaking it down from an efficiency standpoint, he's got better stats in that regard through the first decade of his career. But again, it goes back to what we've talked about before. What does it look like after the age of 30? Brady got statistically better in his 30s than he was in his 20s. In some ways, in some statistical categories, he was better in his 40s than he was in his 30s. So, like, he got better with age, and that's nearly impossible to have happen, and Brady was able to do it.
Man, they're so similar, right? Neither of them throw a ton of interceptions. They both complete a bunch of passes. Obviously, the wins are the most important thing and the main reason why people put them together. But then there are these other things. Brady wasn't the kind of athlete Mahomes is, but they both had kind of the, you know, the Gumby effect, right? The ability to absorb contact. The one thing I'll say that Brady did masterfully late in his career, and this is probably one of the things that we don't really talk about that will determine whether or not Mahomes can do any of this, is Brady just didn't take a lot of hits at post 30. Like, the old man Brady never got hit. He partly because he made the decisions to not put himself in those situations where he'd get rid of the ball, or he always had a good offensive line. When did Brady ever not play with a good offensive line, right? It just didn't happen. And all the organizations he played for did a good job of making sure that didn't happen. The Chiefs are clear. This is why we always say, like, I could not choke to death on my own spit here in this segment. It'd be great, Tommy. Sorry. Apologies to everybody out there. The one thing that we know the Chiefs are trying to do is be really good on the offensive line. They've invested so much money and energy in that spot. It's why I have always supported them in those endeavors. Now, it's taken them a long time at left tackle, but they're trying. They're clearly, you know, prioritizing making sure he's upright more than anything else that they do. And it's something we see teams like the Bengals fumble, right? How do you let Burrow sit behind bad offensive lines every year? I mean, what a disaster that is. Again, every other year, he has to leave with a major injury because he gets clobbered back there. So I think the Chiefs are the right organization for it because I think they fundamentally are trying to do it the same way. I think Mahomes and Brady have always been very similar players. So I think that works to his advantage. And now it'll be, you know, can they find the right group to continue to be successful? But man, it's a big ask. As great as Mahomes has been through 30, like that's what's going to make Brady it's what's going to make LeBron James untouchable at some point. It's what's making Brady feel untouchable. It's how good they were in the late 30s into 40s, which is, you know, is that something we see from Mahomes? We're a decade away from knowing that.
Yeah, again, it goes back to how much will he have in the tank at the age of 40? Like, will there be will the career be winding down, or will he have what it takes to be able to continue moving forward? And it's not uncommon now to see, you know, some quarterbacks at least playing into their 40s. Brady is the gold standard of that, but Aaron Rodgers is doing that now. You know, that there are other guys that can do that and have done that. But how effective? Like, Aaron Rodgers is not winning MVPs anymore. But he did, like, almost
late 30s.
Like, almost before he hit 40. And then, you know, he hasn't played to that level, you know, since then, obviously. So that the jury is still out, and it's going to be out for a long time on the longevity of Mahomes and, you know, where he can be. And I know the ultimate factor, the ultimate stat that everybody's going to point out when it's all said and done and Mahomes's his career is gone is how many Super Bowls did he get? Brady got
seven.
Well,
how many?
Like, nobody
how many
else has
do you
done
think
that.
He has to get for us to put that part of it aside?
Seven. Like, I don't think that.
You think he has to actually get?
I mean,
to
I don't think you can have an argument of Mahomes versus Brady, and be able to say like Mahomes is the GOAT, you know, and Brady is not, unless he matches him in Super Bowls. Otherwise,
well, I think if he matches him statistically, has a few more MVPs,
but only has
Brady,
four Super Bowls potentially,
like
or five. Like,
or
I mean,
six,
I don't know. I
think at that point we can at least have that conversation, right? We'll never, you know. Well, let's just ask it. Do you think Mahomes is going to win seven Super Bowls? I don't think so.
Probably not.
Yeah. So, I mean, as I look at that now. We said that about Brady. I mean, we would have never said that. Mahomes could have five already, right? Like, that's how crazy that is. That they lost two Super Bowls, too. The fact that he's always in one, if that projects out, then, yeah, he's going to get seven. But that's a big ask of the organization to just be spot on all the time and never take that dip. Right. Like they have the best floor in football through Mahomes. But I love looking at Brady as we watch Mahomes's career. I'm so glad they got to play together for a few years. I thought that was really, really cool. And for one of the great generations of quarterback in this league, because I think we're in one right now. Like, I really do. I think you could drop Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, or Joe Burrow into any generation, and they would probably be the best quarterbacks of whenever and wherever they're playing. And there may be more than that too, but those four for sure. Like, we are in a golden era of quarterback play right now in the NFL, and none of them are probably going to catch Brady in what he's done. Mahomes is the best chance because he already has the three Super Bowls. These other guys don't even have one because Mahomes is in their way. So we'll see. It's a fun one. I don't know if everybody else likes that. I love the idea of Mahomes chasing Brady, and I hope that he gets that chance 8 years from now, 9 years from now, where we're having these conversations. I do think, based on what we've seen and his ability to, you know, take contact and be Gumby, that Gumby effect, he's got a chance to play that long if he wants to. I think he has a chance to play up there where Rodgers and Brady and the things that they've been able to do. I'm not sure I think that about some of the other guys that maybe are a little more mobile, but now we're starting to see Mahomes be a mobile quarterback. He's starting to run around.
And by the way, I mean, who knows what the game is going to look like 10 years from now? Who knows what technology will be 10 years from now? I mean, from the time that Brady retired, dating all the way back to when he started in the NFL, you know, the nutrition that he had and the workout routine, like all the different things, that he had, that wasn't around when he first got into the league. So who knows what things will look like when Mahomes is 40 compared to where he is right now.
They may be playing 20 games a year by the time he's 42, which will throw the numbers into out of whack. All right, we'll come back. We got another hour. It's a busy hour. Two guests coming up in the next hour. You don't want to miss either of them. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.